Beyond the Forbidden.
This is going to be a treat, a privilege, an honor to have you on, and thank you very much, sir.
I'm excited to speak to your audience. I'm going to be interested to hear who's out there listening.
Hopefully it's not the company that you used to be with. But so for the few that may be unfamiliar with you, you know, there's always a few out there. But like I said, you're all over YouTube and interviews, lectures and stuff. What you've been doing this for 30, 40 years now. But explain a little bit about you and how you got into this research with alien phenomena, abductions, etc.
The bottom line is, I think the best way to describe how I became involved with the UFO phenomena is I was a captive audience at age 4. An entity was in my room. I sat up. I realized something's wrong with the room, and there he is. And a skinny, spindly cosmic skinhead is walking toward the wall. He's fixing to bump into it, in my opinion. And I didn't realize he'd actually walked through the wall, and I'd just been brought back. So the thing that shocked me about that whole event, and I'll make this as short as possible, is I said to myself, you know, he's going to bump into the wall. Who is this? And so on, all these natural little questions that somebody's in your room in the middle of the night. And he turned around instantly as if he was listening to my thoughts. And the weirdest thing happened to me. I heard him mentally say, "It's awake." And I realized he's talking about me. I'm an it. So that told me a lot about him, since I think about that as from childhood. And the first thing I noticed is he didn't have any clothes on. He didn't have a belly button, and he didn't have, as a little kid would say, 4 years old, he didn't have a TT, which means that now I realize if you don't have a genitalia, you don't procreate. You didn't get here the way we did if you don't have a belly button, so to speak. You don't have a navel. You were hatched, cloned, made, or manufactured. And in my opinion, that's what we're looking at. The alien is nothing more than a transgenic being that's been shown all through history, and that's what I gave in my presentation today.
And that was a really good presentation, by the way. What is the most bizarre encounter you have had with an alien or whatever? What's the most bizarre case that you have worked on?
Well, and I think your audience probably would rather, from a practical point of view, how would that reference to me? The most unusual experience for me was an experience that happened when I was 12 years old. And the strange thing is I heard my mother's voice, which didn't make any sense to me. I mean, and I didn't wake up hearing my mother's voice. I was like switched on. I mean, sat in bed, just wide awake. And I can hear my mother's voice. But the problem is they're at the end of the house and the door shut. There's no way. I mean, somebody's obviously playing with me. They're mentally, they're mimicking my mother's voice. They do stuff like this. And she says for me to go outside and look at there's a new star in the Pentine. Now, there's no such thing as a star system called the Pentine. But the fact is that my mother, it's my mother's voice, and I automatically know about the star system in the Pentine, which doesn't make any sense at all, which goes back to programming. Somebody's already pre-programmed this little show to go on. So I walk outside. It's wintertime. It's cold. And I look out and on the horizon, and I see this really big, bright light. And I'm in New Mexico, 1305 Ohio Street in New Mexico. And the really weird thing about this whole business, and I hate to use a movie as an illustration, but it's like in the movie Phenomenon with the guy's walking out in the street, looks up and sees this big bright light, and boom. And next thing I know, that's pretty much what happened. It just got bigger and bigger and brighter. And the next thing I know, I'm in a circular room. Is it a UFO? I don't know. It's a circular room, and the same cosmic skinhead that always gets me is there. And his boss, who's a little taller than he is, who's a lot smarter than he is, there, and I'm on a I call it the slab. It's a hard device, just some type of a bed, or it's like either concrete or metal or something. It's hard, it's cold, and I'm there's a very bright light above me, and my feet are elevated 11 degrees, and I am horrified because the problem with the alien is most people are either in awe or in fear of them. You're overwhelmed. If you're a contactee, you're in awe. I'm in the school of higher consciousness and all this. No, you're really not. Or you're in awe. You're scared. You know, like, oh my God, you know, they're going to, these are programs they're running on you. It's just that simple. One will make you an abductee. The other will make you a contactee. You don't kind of get to choose after that. So, the problem is when the alien, they generally try to block you off and give you a screen memory at this point so that you will not remember exactly what really went on. They try to give you something like, again, you're in the school of higher consciousness or whatever whopper they want to push on you. And so what I did, is I started to realize that when they shut you off, you can turn yourself back on. You don't have to be a victim just because they said you can't hear anything, you won't feel this, you won't know that. That's not necessarily true. That's what you want. Now, the question is, what do I want? What I want is to get inside his head like he's inside mine. Well, if you turn yourself back on and you pay attention in certain particular ways, you can actually get inside the alien's headspace just like he did yours, which means you have access to his information too. That's something they don't want you doing, and there are very specific ways things they do to make sure that that won't happen. So when I was 12, the problem is when the alien thinks, they think in big pictures, and tons of information are put out there very quickly, and I started to cry at age 12 because I realized exactly what they're going to do to me. Because it's already in his head, so I already know. I'm sure he didn't have a clue. Oh, what's a weird little kid's crying for? You know, they don't care anyway. To be anything to them, it's like cattle they're mutilating. They don't care whether it bellows or not. Just get the job done. So I realized they're going to do something terrible, and they did. And I had some of this verified by the VA hospital. ENT looked at me one time and he said, "When did you get the surgery inside your nose?" Of course, I lied and I said, "What surgery? What are you talking about?" I got it when I was 12, and that's part of what they did. The second thing they did was to ram a needle-like device with a long needle with a silver sphere on the end of it and ran it up my nasal passage, broke the bones, and there was no pain. There was no pain relief or no suggestion you won't feel this or anything. They didn't care. It didn't make any difference. Well, you scream all you want to. You scream as loud as you want in space, nobody's going to hear you. So it doesn't matter to them if they could care less. And they broke the bones. I felt it break my bones inside the nasal passage. And then the object felt like the needle was back behind my eye. And when he pulled the needle device out, the little sphere was gone. So that was my first acquaintance to the an indoctrination to the alien implant program. I didn't discover it. I simply had it happen. So
what kind of alien was it? Was it a gray or?
Both the two aliens involved was the small gray, the little short guy, which has an IQ of about 80, which is not much higher than a moron. And they make huge mistakes, and people, they take this personally and get upset. I'm describing the entity. I'm sorry if it upsets people. He's not very intelligent. He can't put your clothes right half the time. If there's two or three people there, sometimes he'll get someone else's clothes mixed up with yours. He doesn't get it. He's made, hatched, cloned, made, manufactured this way on purpose. So if you ever caught him, basically, you've got nothing. Now the doctor type who's like him, looks just like him, but taller, he's a lot smarter than he is. He's got an IQ about 140.
Do you want to help support Beyond Forbidden and receive extra content that's not seen anywhere else? By becoming a patron, a few things you will receive are the full-length 90-minute or 120-minute podcast episode. Members will also receive a private link to the video podcast and will only be exclusive to Patreon members. In-person, face-to-face interviews with some of the most well-known, respected researchers. Behind-the-scenes footage of interviews not seen anywhere else. And that's just a few perks. So what do you have to lose? Cut out one brain-rotting, overly processed Happy Meal a month that doesn't do anything beneficial for your mind, body, and spirit, and become a Patreon for just $5.
And he's real smart. That guy is, if there's going to be a surgical procedure, an implantation, or something like that done, which I give your audience a big hint, 99% of the people out there watching this goes, oh my gosh, I've got an implant. You really don't. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. People are doing that or trying to sell you a book. And I wrote the book literally on implants. I know what I'm talking about. And most people do not have an alien implant in that sense of the word, a physical object that's embedded in them and so on. And I look at hundreds of x-rays every year, and I'm telling you that the objects, most of the objects we find inside people are explainable, and they're not alien implants. And this is testable, by the way.
And something we were talking about just a while ago, pre-recording this, I asked you, how come, I have to say most researchers out there, because I would say it is at least 90% of researchers out there don't bring hard proof or evidence to the table like you do. What's going on here?
Well, overly developed right brain people tend to tell stories instead of just lay out facts. And I'm one of those, so I'll tell the story. Bob Bigelow called me on the phone after I conducted the first two implant surgeries in Camarillo, California, 1995. And within a couple of days, the news was like wildfire on the internet. And so I get this phone call, and gentleman on the phone says, this is Bob Bigelow. And I said, well, what do I owe the owner of the call? And he says, I've got five doctors here with me, five people with PhDs. One guy has two PhDs and an MD. And we're all standing around the phone listening. And I've got a big question for you. You seem to know where evidence is at that none of us even knew existed. And you seem to be able to find a lot of it. What do you owe the explanation to that? And I said, if you want to go find a donut, go find a cop. And they didn't think that was very funny. They didn't laugh at all. Well, I got news for you. It wasn't a joke. I'm telling them the truth. This is the answer to your question. I said, if you want to find evidence from the alien, go find a Native American tracker that understands the alien, and you'll find your evidence. Well, long story short, several years ago, that's 1995 back then, about a year and a half ago, one of my abductees called me, and he said, there's two guys that are ex-special agents from the FBI here on my property, and I said, they intimidate you? He said, yeah. I said, put them on the phone. He said, well, I'm so-and-so, and I'm an ex-special agent from the FBI, and so's my buddy. And I said, well, let me explain some things to you, sir. X doesn't mean anything to me. All my exes live in Texas. And I said, that's a joke. I said, but the fact is, I don't like you on the property. There are bits in my abductee without my permission. You don't have any business being there. You're scaring these people half to death, and you don't scare or intimidate me in any way, shape, or form. Let me explain to you something perhaps you can understand, Mr. Special Ex-Agent. I said, back in the late 60s, the CIA and the FBI wanted the liaison. They're going to take an FBI guy and put him in the CIA with everybody's permission. So they'll, this is our first attempt for us to really communicate and do the right thing, that sort of thing. He said, yeah, so what? I said, it was your guy that was going into the company. He said, yeah. I said, we owned that monkey from day one. We owned him. It was our plant. That's what you mean to me, Mr. Special Agent. Nothing. You don't intimidate me. And I said, I have respect for the FBI. I do. I've worked with them on cases for kidnapping and all kinds of stuff. I do. I said, but I don't have any respect for you whatsoever, coming up there intimidating people, thinking you're going to steal the biological evidence there you're looking for. Yeah, we didn't find any. I said, then I must have done a pretty good job, because I got it all.
What was his response?
Well, don't you want to have all that tested by the best scientists? That's what makes you think that won't happen. I said, you go tell Bob that if he wants to talk to me about evidence, you don't need to send two ex special agents to do it. You talk to me. You don't send people like you. That's how you get things done. I said, until then, I'll just keep all the evidence, just like I have the rest of it. I got the biggest collection of physical evidence, probably, than all the investigators out there put together. Now, there's a reason. It's not bragging. It's I know who I'm hunting, and I'll cap this with one other story. We did, after we did the first set of surgeries, the Bigelow team, real good group of people, I don't care what anybody says, 18 scientists, good people, they said they had a big meeting and they said, we want to pay for and study your alien implants from your first surgeries. You pick out any implants you want. And I did. And I said, I'll do that under this condition. It'd be a blinded study. Nobody gets to know anything about where they came from, what they are. Just they're these metal objects and that's it. And he said, agreed, done. He said, we can be very excited. He says, well, aren't you excited? And I said, about what? Daryl, they've turned down everybody in the UFO community. They didn't have any interest in their projects. Hands down, they voted, this is it. We want to look at these implants. This is great stuff. And I said, well, yeah, that's fine, but that's not what I want. I said, you're telling me what they want and what you want. That's what you want is for me to do, to hand these things over and for them to show that they're extraterrestrial in origin. That's what you want. Because to you, that means it's alien. I said, that's not what I want. I said, I already know it's extraterrestrial. I've already been there.
What time frame are, I didn't mean to cut you off. What time frame are we looking at here? Was this when?
This was in 1996 now.
Okay.
96, Bigelow and his crew and, they're going to do this big scientific study for us. And that was wonderful. However, as I told Bob, he said, well, what do you want? I said, well, thank you for asking. I said, I'm the guy looking for this stuff. I'm the one finding it. You should ask me what I want, not what you want. But I already know what you want. You're in the science business. You want to see if it's extraterrestrial. Is it really alien? Is it really this? All those really big UFO questions. I said, that doesn't mean a hill of beans to me. I already know it's extraterrestrial. I already know where it came from. I know everything about this stuff. I said, what I want you to do is get on with the next set of tests. He said, what tests would those be? I said, well, we study the isotopic ratios of each of the elements and the metals involved. Well, what would that tell us? Bob, if you want to find a donut, you'll find a cop. You know, like the other, like the two they sent later, they're better off looking for a donut shop. She's not going to find any evidence digging around where I'm at because I've already got it. Why? It's because I understand the alien. I know how this stuff's going to go down. So as I told him, I said, what that will tell us, Bob, is that we'll give us, the isotopic ratios will give us an idea of where these elements came from. I said, when we found a meteorite in Antarctica, where did it come from? Well, we actually knew because we had some soil samples from Mars and the metals contained in there, some of the iron substance matched the iron in the giant meteorite they found in Antarctica. So that tells us where the original metal came from the meteorite. It's the same thing, Bob. And he said, well, what will that tell us if we know where these metals come from that are in these implants? I said, it'll tell me where he's mining. I said, I'm the alien hunter, Bob. That's not just some title that some reporter gave me back in 1990, whenever it was, 92, 93. I said, the point is that the term means just what it says. I hunt them that hunted me and later hunted my son. I'm a big guy. I can live with it if you mess with me. But you mess with my kids and I will come after you. I don't care if you're from another planet, another dimension, or where you're at. and I will hunt you down and I will find you. And it's just that simple. And now the predator is, everything switched. Now the prey is the predator.
Very well said, Daryl. Now, with your time with the company, Alphabet Agency, CIA, were you researching this then? And if so, did they know about your, your abduction or whatever, whenever you were 12 years old? Yeah.
Well, I have several answers to that. Number one, my media consultant would tell you immediately, that's the reason they chose you. I'm not so sure about that. Now, I'm not saying it's not true. I just don't. I was never asking any questions about UFOs or anything like that. I was never any special secret CIA training plan. Look, if I wanted to be a big shot back in 1990s early, all I had to do was say, I'm in the secret space program and I know all the following. I got all the big secrets. And then I could get all your money. You pay me all kinds of stuff and I could be a big shot and lie like some of these other folks have done. Mm. But the fact is, it just ain't true. The fact is that now, was I doing UFO cases, investigating UFO cases while I was in the company? The answer is absolutely yes. The company was not involved in any way, shape, or form. During the time I was in the company, did they have a UFO program? Were they looking at you? Of course they were. They have been since the military has been looking at it since the 30s and 40s, but the CIA didn't come into operation until around 47, 48, after the Roswell crash, of course. Secret societies developed.
Go figure.
Yeah, I can't imagine how that would happen. But the point is that I was not involved in with the company involved in there, but did they have an operation? Of course they did. Of course they did. If you knock on the front door, the gate at Langley and say, I want to talk to the CIA guys concerning UFOs and aliens, they're going to tell you, turn your vehicle around and get off the property because they think you're nuts because they don't have a clue what you're doing. They don't have a clue. But there are people in the company and Office of Naval Investigations and a few other little places that do know. And you're never going to get to that piece of information. You can just forget that. And people are sitting there, well, I have a deep, deep, deep contacts inside, you know, really deep stuff. Right. Yeah, well, I got some cheap land I'll sell you. I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it at all. First of all, I go to prison for divulging the very things that I have from a top secret clearance. I'll go to prison for that. You, on the other hand, so to speak, the other person that I would be speaking to here, you've got all these deep, deep, deep contacts in the CIA and the NSA and everywhere. Really? Well, if that were true, why are you not in prison? Because you're making it all up. You are, even if you have somebody that's feeding you good information, you're what we refer to as a useful idiot. You've already been selected. You're part of a program of disinformation that works wonderful, and there are several of them in the UFO community, in my opinion, and they've been played for everything they're worth. And I just sit there, and I can't say a word, because if I do, there's, aha, well, you're going to expose that person? Why, you're nothing but a CIA spy yourself. So I'll just keep my big mouth shut, let everybody spend all their money on these pokes and do whatever. And if you can't figure it out, I can't help you.
So I heard you mention before that aliens are actually machines. Explain to us a little more about that, Daryl, in detail about that statement.
Well, the statement, to be completely accurate, is because people ask these questions, what's the alien, how's this, and so on. There are multiple answers for the question about the alien. The first, the question should be framed, in my opinion, what are the aliens? And in Chapter 12 of my book on implants, my co-writer, Pat Gray, a nurse, said, we really need a good zinger for this chapter. And I said, okay, what do you want to do? And she said, well, something good about the aliens. I said, okay, do aliens have implants? She said, what a great question. Wow, that's going to be great for the chapter. And I said, okay. She's, do they? I said, sweetie, aliens are implants. These things are made, hatched, cloned, and manufactured for the purpose. Made, hatched, cloned, that's not all the same process, or manufactured for the purpose of interaction with mankind to make you think they're aliens from other planets. Now, before some of our listeners get all bent out of shape, well, you said all aliens. I didn't say that. I said this seven flavors we're looking at, it's like a car company. You go down to the Chevy company and there's a Chevette down there for the folks who can't afford the good stuff. And there's a Corvette Stingray on the other end if you want to spend some bucks. So that's kind of neat. So you've got the little gray with the IQ of about 80 on one end, and you've got the Nordic and the other characters over that. Praying Mantis, about 7.5 foot tall. He's got an IQ a lot higher than that cosmic skinhead standing over there, I guarantee you. But the fact is, some of these beings are hatched, cloned, made, or manufactured. Some of them, the best way to describe them, they are in fact transgenics. A transgenic, a chimera, is at least two species put together.
Do you want to help support Beyond Forbidden and receive extra content that's not seen anywhere else? By becoming a patron, a few things you will receive are the full-length 90-minute or 120-minute podcast episode. Members will also receive a private link to the video podcast and will only be exclusive to Patreon members. In-person, face-to-face interviews with some of the most well-known, respected researchers. Behind-the-scenes footage of interviews not seen anywhere else. And that's just a few perks. So what do you have to lose? Cut out one brain-rotting, overly processed Happy Meal a month that doesn't do anything beneficial for your mind, body, and spirit, and become a Patreon for just $5.